Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Time on the Mic, the podcast that looks at life and various subjects through the eyes of myself. I am GT, a 63-year-old baby boomer. I'm here with...
Daniel, and I'm a 16-year-old Gen Zer.
And Daniel is my grandson. All right, so we are right now at 82 downloads, and we have one follower, Gravedigger.
Yeah.
Hey, Gravedigger, what's up?
If it was the actual Gravedigger, that'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe it is. You mean the monster truck dude?
Yeah.
We saw him once.
I've seen him more than once.
Okay. Contact information. We have a new Facebook page, which we announced on the last episode. The Facebook page is Time on the Mic Podcast, all the words spaced out. So go there. We are going to be posting there quite regularly on updates on where we're at on the podcast. And I announced this at the last episode. I want to remind you that if you contact us with some suggested topics, and make them topics that you know something about, because if we pick you, you may be invited to be a guest on the show.
A little Q&A type.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be thrilling for someone? But if you don't want to suggest topics, just drop us a line. Let us know how we're doing. Our email is timeonthemic@gmail.com. We also have Twitter and Instagram, and it's timeonthemic, all one word.
Yeah.
Correct? And we talked last time about likes and what likes mean. So I'm challenging everyone out there who is listening to, can you like more than once?
No, but you know what you can do that's better than likes? Follow.
Well, let's do both.
Yeah.
So everybody like us and follow
us. Like, follow, and notification.
Just so we can see what happens, because I don't know what that even means, what likes will get us. And if somebody shows up at my door with a bag of cash, I'll split it with everybody.
Yeah.
So give us a like, follow us. You know, it's kind of like Chicago. Vote more than once, if you can.
Yeah.
You don't know about that?
No.
Yeah. Chicago's notorious for voter fraud.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's great for the city.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, so Daniel wants to take this one over, so I'm going to turn it over to him, and he's going to kick things off, so hit it.
So we just talked about Gravedigger, I guess, but you brought this up. I wanted to bring this up real quick, but so did you know that it's not just one driver?
Yeah.
It's multiple professional drivers, yeah, and they get fired. And
yeah, because it's owned by a guy. He's not the driver, though, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
It was always, growing up, I always thought it was one guy until I saw like the magazine where it's like 8 drivers for Gravedigger.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how all those things work.
Yeah, and then but the national televised ones, they're done by the better
person. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like the actual good shows.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've seen at least one that I can remember.
I think I've seen 3.
Yeah.
Gravedigger, I think twice.
But what I remember about those most of all is how freaking loud it is, especially inside. Oh my God, them things are loud.
Just recently, there has been the first backflip.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, who did that?
Not the Mad Max, but it was Mad Scientist.
Wow, that'd be tough to pull off, yeah. Especially indoors, because you'd have to have, you got to build up some speed.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you see it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it live, but I saw the video.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Basically, you could say he won the event.
Did he get any likes or followers from doing that? Maybe that's what we need to do. We'll get in my car and we'll do a backflip.
Yeah. But to turn things over off of that, let's go to, I have a topic here.
All right.
About,
what do you got?
Since I talked to you about this, I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, but my friend got me tickets to go to a concert in Chicago.
Which I'm totally against.
And it costs, for 2 tickets in all, $307.
Now, for 2 tickets?
Yeah. In all, not for separate, but in all.
Oh, well, that makes it much better.
It is better because we didn't get floor, so it is better.
No, it's not.
But what is your most expensive concert ticket that you've paid for, and where and who? Because the one I'm going to is called Grey Day.
Grey Day?
Yeah.
That sounds depressing. Is that some more of that depressing shit?
Yeah, kind of. But it's Grade A. It's hosted by Suicide Boys.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, so, and it's, the average is like 100-something this year when it used to be 50 and 60 and 80. But, yeah. So, this is the my most expensive.
The most I ever paid for a ticket, I believe, was $80. And that was Rush. And I only paid that because we got really good seats. But growing up, tickets were, I mean, we, here in the local area, we had basically one, sometimes two venues where they'd have rock shows, and $6.50. I mean, and it was...
$6?
$6.50. I mean, and it was top, you know, Kiss. I mean, this was during the 70s, 80s. Kiss, Aerosmith, Rush. I mean, pick them, you know. Styx. I don't know. Name a band. They probably played here. But $6.50, yep. And that's what I can't... Because...
Even festivals that you went to?
Well, okay, that you brought that up. So the first festival I ever went to was called the Iowa Jam. And it was several hours away. And it was, let me see if I can remember the lineup. We actually went, because it was one of those things where you could camp there the night before.
Yeah.
So we did that. And we saw some interesting stuff.
I bet.
I actually had an interesting experience inside the tent, which I'm not going to get into, but...
Why not?
Because it's not for your ears. It was something I woke up to. It didn't happen to me, but there was four of us in this tent, and somehow there was five of us in this tent. I'll leave it at that. It was Head East, Nazareth... Ted Nugent was the headliner.
So far, I know one name.
God, who else? There was a bunch of bands, but man, it was hot. So we went early, and of course, there's thousands of people there. It was at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. And we were fairly close, but wide open, no cover, sun. We had no water. I mean, we got baked. But, yeah, the thing I remember about Ted Nugent's set was he had these two gigantic fans on both sides of the stage, and he had really long hair back then. And
so he's glistening, basically.
Glistening?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like he's sweaty and has his hair flowing?
No, well, he would get in front of these fans, and I'm thinking, if he gets any closer to that fan, his hair's going to get caught in those blades and like rip his hair out.
Oh, that big of a fan?
Oh, it was huge. And then he never did that, but I don't remember what song he played, but people were throwing frisbees and shit, beach balls like they did back then. And he's playing a song and he gets on the mic. He goes, "Hey," he goes, "you guys throw them frisbees up here and see if you can hit me." He goes, "because back in Detroit, we used to have frisbees with razor blades on them." So people started throwing frisbees at him. Nobody ever hit him. He was good at ducking, but that guy was a wild man. But yeah, we got baked. I mean, actually baked, not like baked high, you know. But
yeah.
Oh my God, it was hot. But yeah.
So not expensive there either?
$10. Ten, and I remember at the time, I guess that's where I was going with this. I just got sidetracked thinking of some of the stuff we did and saw there. But, yeah, and I remember, because it was four of us, and we're like, God, I really want to go to that, but do we really want to pay $10?
Wow.
Seriously, we had this conversation. And so we decided to bite the bullet. $10, holy shit, man, that's a lot of money. And it was, I mean. But, yeah, we went. Yeah, I remember the tent... When I got home, because it was my dad's tent, I guess technically he bought it, so he owned it. But, yeah, he was pretty pissed about the condition it came back in. So, but, hey, what are you going to do? So yeah, that up until that point, $10 was the most I'd ever spent. And then I'm trying to think what show I saw where it was like crazy priced after that. But yeah, I mean, I believe it was the Eagles that started that $100 ticket thing that I can recall. They were the first band to charge over $100 for a ticket. And I'm like,
they have a big ego.
Well, here's the thing. And I think I said this to you the other day. The issue I have with all that, I have several issues with concert tickets, but if you look at, say, pick a band, let's go with Kiss. Okay. So Kiss back in the day, their shows were probably not as elaborate as they are today, but they were pretty damn close. I mean, they had bombs and smoke and lasers and rising drum kits and all that shit. $650. So today you buy a Kiss ticket and it's probably what, $150? And that's for
something like that. Probably.
That's for the freaking nosebleeds. But you would think if the ticket price is going to increase that much, their show would be, you know, they would have a more elaborate show or they'd give you something for the money. Yeah. And they don't. And that's what pisses me off. It's like, and what irks me even more is, and I told you this the other day, if people would just take like a big event, say a Taylor Swift, I might have even said it on here, somebody big like Taylor Swift or I don't know. I don't even know who's
somebody who has a backing.
Right. And so let's say they announce, okay, we're going to go out on tour. Ticket prices are $200. And people say, screw you. We're not paying that. But everybody's got to do it and just say, we're not paying that.
Yeah.
And if nobody buys a ticket, you'd see $650 ticket prices again. Because the only reason they keep getting away with charging that is because people keep paying it.
Yeah.
And then on top of the ticket price, you got Ticketmaster with all their bullshit charges. Here's a $13 convenience fee. When they first started that, I bought tickets for a show. I can't remember what it was, but I think I did it online. No, I didn't do it online. I might have called them. Anyway, so it was like a $13 convenience fee. So I called. I was pissed. I was like, what the fuck is this? Convenience fee for what? So I got this guy on the phone, and I go, what is this bullshit $13 convenience fee? He goes, well, that's a fee for us providing you the ticket. And I go, well, if you're going to charge me a convenience fee, you should deliver it to my house. You know, yeah. You should drive, get in your car right now and drive to my house and deliver the ticket. And what pissed me off even more was your Uncle Austin was going to a show at the very same venue. It was a different band, but the convenience fee was different. And I'm like, okay. So obviously what they're doing is, based on the popularity of the performer,
they're
charging different prices. And it's like, you guys suck. I wish I knew how to start a ticket brokerage like that, because I wouldn't charge shit. I mean, that's just, there ought to be a law against that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, I always thought ticket scalping was against the law.
What is that?
Where you buy a ticket and you turn around and resell it.
Oh, yeah.
So now,
there's Facebook groups for this.
Well, you go on Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And half the tickets on Ticketmaster are people reselling them.
Yeah.
So what they do is, well, we went through this. So last Christmas, I was going to take you to go see Aaron Lewis. And so I got this notice, tickets are on sale this day. Okay, so I go on there. I mean, 10 o'clock. I go on there at 10 o'clock. There's no tickets. They're already all sold out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the hell does this happen?
Pre-sale.
They have pre-sales, but so what people do is they get in on these pre-sales and they go buy all these freaking tickets.
Because they also get a discount code.
And then they turn around and resell them for three times the price.
Yeah, because they also get a discount code.
So I'm like, oh shit, I really wanted to take him to this and now I can't. And so about 2 weeks before Christmas, because the show was, when was it? It was like February or March or something after Christmas.
Yeah.
So I thought like 2 weeks before Christmas, I went in there and I said, well, I'm just going to look. And so I actually got tickets for the original selling price. So I think what they do is, if they can't sell them, they just start reducing the price. And I'm like, this is insane. I can't believe they allow that. But
yeah, there's, I see Facebook groups that of artists that I follow that you see them, and it's groups about just specifically that, like, tour, that name of the tour. They're the people reselling tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There ought to be a law against that. Somebody needs to take Ticketmaster down.
Yeah, that's how you feel.
Oh, hell yeah. Because they're ripping people off. But, and again, if people would just stop buying tickets and tell Ticketmaster, screw you, we're not paying your bullshit charges.
Yeah.
You'd see those charges disappear.
So, to go on being expensive, also, never mind, before this, how much were the KISS concerts, the tickets that you got when we went?
Free.
Free? Oh, for being...
Because I worked there.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will tell you this. Ticket sales were not good for that show.
Really?
And they were giving them away.
That's crazy.
They were... Well, think about it. I mean, you got a band like KISS whose egos could fill a room.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to come out if there's like 200 people there, so they start giving tickets away just so they'll fill the seats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went to, I don't remember why I went there, something to do with work, and I said, so I, because they were giving away tickets to employees, I said, so I hear you're giving away tickets. Oh, yeah, how many do you need? I said, three. Okay, here. And I'm like, cool. So, yeah, you guys got to go. I should have got four. I've never seen KISS live.
Really?
Yeah. I could have. They played here back in the day in the 70s and 80s all the time. I could have went any time, but I thought their music sucked.
Thought? So you don't think that now?
Well, no. Their music sucks. I shouldn't say it sucks, but it's just.
It doesn't reflect their stage presence?
Well, and I told you this before, and I think I said this on the show. The reason they did all that, the makeup and the. Because they were trying to cover up the fact that they were shitty musicians.
Yeah.
Their music is really simple. I mean, if you have any knowledge of all about how to play an instrument, you could play, with a little bit of practice, you could play KISS music. You could be a KISS cover band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see that midget KISS cover band?
Yeah.
They call them Little KISS.
Yep, they actually came around after a hockey game.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah, they did a post-game concert.
Oh, wow.
I didn't stay around for it, but yeah.
I saw a picture of them, and I'm like, I love that. That is just funny as shit.
They got popular, I wouldn't say because, but I know they got very popular because of a YouTuber.
Yeah.
So.
You remember midget bowling?
No, I have no clue.
You ever heard, or dwarf bowling? I think it was dwarf bowling or midget bowling? I had a friend of mine who said he did that. I don't believe him, but he said he did. So what you would do, you should go to a bowling alley. And you'd buy this midget. You would pay to have this guy, and you'd throw him like a bowling ball, and he'd have a helmet on, and he'd slide down the alley, and he was your bowling ball.
Wow.
Try getting away with that today. you'd be in fucking PC prison, man. You're throwing first of all, you called him a midget? Okay, we'll call it little person bowling. Oh, no, you're not going to throw that midget down the bowling alley. But yeah. These guys would make money and they're like, yeah, throw me down there all you want. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, what else you got?
So to keep on going about expensive ticket price, let's talk about merchandise.
Oh, God.
So was that always a thing? Was it expensive? Was it not?
It was always a thing. No, it wasn't. Well, I think the first concert t-shirt I bought, I think I saw Styx at the local fairgrounds. And funny story about that. So they had it at our local fairgrounds. They have a stock car track, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically a dirt track. So that's where they put the stage in the middle of this racetrack, and everybody would go out in the dirt part. Well, we were the only persons, there was four of us, we were the only people smart enough to bring lawn chairs. True. So everybody else was sitting in the dirt. But that was a good show.
Sitting too. In the dirt. They weren't standing?
Well, but before the show.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that.
Yeah.
That is the worst. Oh, to wait an hour.
Yeah. And especially in dirt. But that was a really good show. I think that was the Grand Illusion Tour. But that was the, not the original Styx, but before Dennis DeYoung left. But yeah, anyway.
You definitely can't bring lawn chairs anymore.
Yeah, probably not. They probably wouldn't let you.
Yeah.
But anyway, I bought a t-shirt there. I think it was $20, maybe.
So more than the concert ticket?
I don't remember what that cost. It wasn't like it is today where you had to buy the card. You could just buy for a show, this one show. You know what I mean?
No.
So now you have to buy the fun card.
Oh, okay.
So you could just buy.
This was actually for the.
But it was during the. It was during the fair, but you could just buy a concert ticket.
Oh, okay.
But I don't remember what it cost. It was probably like $10. No, it couldn't have been that much. Between 6 and 10, I would say.
Well, because I bring that up because now merchandise in concerts
it's crazy.
Are at least the price or
well, that's where they
half make, the price of your concert ticket.
That's where they make their money. That's where the performer makes their money.
Yeah.
Because you think, oh yeah, they're selling tickets for $100, but what you don't consider is you've got Ticketmaster taking a chunk of that, you've got their management taking a chunk of that, the venue gets a chunk of that.
Yeah.
So by the time that $100 is split up, they may be getting $20 or $30, maybe. Yeah. Probably not even that. So they gotta think of ways to generate money, and that's merchandise and then the meet and greets that they do.
Yeah, well, now that's more VIP tickets. They don't really do that now.
But some bands used to sell meet and greet time.
Yeah.
You could buy your ticket, and then an add-on would be the meet and greet. You'd pay another $50 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they probably get 100% of that money, I would think. I don't know, but...
Well...
But a lesson I learned very early on...
You don't like...
Do not... You might think it's cool to meet these people, but I wouldn't recommend it.
So the people that I want to go get meet and greet tickets for, you literally are just there for 30 seconds with them.
Yeah, Now it's like, okay, you're in a big line, and they just, okay, take your picture,
yeah, take a picture,
shake their hand, and okay, next.
Take a picture, get something signed, and next.
Some of them don't even sign shit.
Well, the people that I do want,
that you want to do this with?
City Morgue, if they do another.
Oh my God. Is that that Godzilla guy?
Yeah, with somebody, it's the metal band. But if they do another concert because of their label or whatever, but.
So you're going to meet this guy?
Not technically meet, but yeah.
So
hopefully, at least.
So you should tell him, say, dude, I can hook you up with a really good psychiatrist. You need help, dude.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say to him. But my first experience with meeting a musical hero was where I used to work, and I know this is going to sound bizarre, it was a military base. But it was they did a concert to try to raise money for something. And it was like an all-day thing. There was several bands. I had what they call an all-access laminate. I could go anywhere I wanted. And we were supposed to videotape throughout the day stuff. So.
You basically a little documentary of the day.
Kind of, yeah. Except we weren't allowed to tape more than a minute or two of them performing for some stupid ass reason.
Probably because they had a.
But we did anyway. We only got caught once. But anyway.
What? Because you saved probably the tape or something?
You know, it was on VHS because that's. We taped it in. The tape format we were using was U-matic. Which is the tape was 3/4 inch. So the way videotape works, the bigger the tape, the more you can get on it.
Like
the better picture or the better audio. But after I edited it and everything, it was dubbed down to VHS. I thought I had a copy, but I couldn't tell you where it is. But anyway, so we were supposed to go to all the performers' trailers and get them to say, oh, I know what it was for. It was for the Army's birthday. It was some big, I can't remember. Anyway, I don't know what number it was, but it was. So anyway, we were supposed to go to their trailers. Everybody had a trailer. And go in there and try to get them to say, happy birthday, Army, for some promo shit. And one of the bands was the Romantics. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
What I Like About You and
yeah,
Talking in Your Sleep. Mm-hmm. You remember, you know those songs?
Yeah.
English band, I believe. I don't remember, but we walked into their trailer. Them guys were drunk as shit. And this was before they even went on stage.
That's a very common thing now.
And there, I think there was four of them in the band, and they're drinking. I mean, it wasn't beer, it was liquor, and they're drunk as shit. They're like, hey, man, come on in, woo! You know, and I'm going, okay, hey, you know, I'm like, we're with so-and-so. We just want to videotape you saying happy birthday, Army. And they're like, oh, fuck yeah, we'll do that. So they're like, you know, they all get together, and I'm like, okay. I said, we'll probably do this two or three times. And they're, you know, they got their, I mean, they're drinking right out of the bottle. I mean, screw the glasses and whatever. They're like, happy birthday, Army! And I'm just, and we hung out with them for a long time. I mean, they were hilarious. But anyway, where I'm going with this, the headliner was Kansas. Kansas, to this day, still is one of my favorite bands. But the violin player, who has since passed away, Robbie Steinhardt, he was one of my musical heroes because the guy was just awesome. And they got there, like, I want to say half hour before they were supposed to go on. They were late. I guess their flight was late or some shit. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to take this time to try to talk to him. And so they got there, and they were supposed to do, they would line up, a whole band would line up with the commander of the installation, and they would say something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, we were supposed to videotape that. And Robbie was kind of the spokesperson for the band. And so, you know, we'd say, okay, here's what we want you to say. Okay. Okay, you ready? Yep. And he just stood there. And we're going, are you going to say it? I'm not going to say it. He was pissed. I'm not going to say it. So another band member said, okay, I'll say it. And whatever it was he said. And I'm thinking, nah, I don't think I'm going to talk to this guy. He's pissed. I don't know what he was mad about, but yeah.
It must have been something that he didn't like.
Well, I think it was, if I remember right, I heard something about, they were late for one thing. I know that. But I think some of their equipment didn't show up, their instruments. So they had to use their backup stuff. I don't know. But anyway, he was not happy. But the funny thing was, when they got up on stage, you would never have known any of that took place. I mean, he was just, of course, he's a performer, you know, that's what he gets paid for. But yeah, my recommendation is keep that fantasy in your head about these people and don't ever meet them, because you'll probably be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're just people too. I mean, they could be having a bad day and they just don't want to talk to you, or they don't want to be bothered. And so you're better off just not confronting these people.
Yeah, the reason I want to get the tickets for this specific one is because it's only $40 more, like $40-$50 more than the main floor tickets. So,
and how are you paying for this?
What do you mean? I have a job.
You have a job?
Uh huh.
Okay. You'll have to tell me what that is when we turn the mic. So. Oh, God. I have some real reservations about you going to that. I mean, I would think that environment. Is it indoor or outdoor?
It's at the Chicago Arena.
Oh, United Center?
Yeah.
That place is huge.
Yep. And it's going to be sold out, so.
It's an all-day thing?
Yeah.
Is it a festival or just...
It's like a one-day festival for everywhere they go, but it's the only reason I say that is because they have so many people in the lineup.
So it's not like a festival where they have like three or four different stages.
Yeah, no, it's one stage, but they perform for like 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm. Well, you'll have to keep me updated when you go to make sure you're still alive. I'll have to buy you some Kevlar t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what else you got?
We got what we talked about. We got, let's talk about favorite things.
Okay.
So let's bring up first favorite food growing up now.
Favorite food growing up?
Yeah.
My mom's meatloaf. Oh, that was great.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it was good stuff. My favorite food now?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm so limited on what I can eat now. I guess it would be, when I can, pizza. I know what my favorite dessert is.
Yeah.
Coconut cream pie.
I don't think I've ever seen you eat that.
And we make it at Thanksgiving.
You do?
Nobody eats it but me. That's why we make it. How about you?
So growing up...
Let me guess, chicken nuggets and french fries.
No, not at all. So growing up, we would go to pizza restaurants a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my favorite food growing up was barbecue chicken pizza.
Mm.
Which kind of sounds like a newer thing to a lot of people, but it isn't.
Barbecue chicken pizza? I don't know that. I've had barbecue pizza. I don't know if it had chicken on it, but...
But yeah, that's what I like growing good. Up. Yeah, and also especially when you get it at a buffet, you can just have it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now, could you guess at all?
Your favorite food now?
Yeah.
Subs from our local sub shop?
See, yeah and no at the same time. I'd say that with a mix of chicken quesadillas because I eat those every day.
Oh, yeah.
Eat those every day.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Which I don't know if that's the healthiest thing ever in the world, but...
I used to have to make those for you after school.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know I had that long of an addiction.
Oh, yeah. You come home from school, how many do you want?
Well, that would be cheese, wouldn't it? Cheese instead case? Of chicken.
Oh, you said chicken?
I do chicken now. It's a lot more healthier.
It was just cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty healthy, though. I mean...
Yeah. I put half a breast into one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd say it's pretty...
Just that? No sauces?
With
or?
Cheese, and then I put barbecue with chipotle sauce as a dipping.
I don't know about that, but...
Well, sometimes I don't do it to make it, yeah, sure, whatever, more healthier, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my strict diet of chicken quesadillas.
Yeah, well, that'll catch up with you when you get older, probably.
Yeah, my mom says that a lot. So... How about drinks to go with the matching of food?
Non-alcoholic drinks?
It doesn't matter.
My favorite drink growing up, it was... We drank a lot of water right from the tap and Kool-Aid. Because you could buy a thing of Kool-Aid for like 5 cents.
Now, what type of Kool-Aid? You mean the Kool-Aid or Kool-Aid?
The powder. You had to mix it with sugar in a pitcher.
Yeah. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Like, you're drinking the Kool-Aid or Kool-Aid?
What are you saying?
Like, the Kool-Aid is like via cold.
What?
You don't know what I'm meaning?
What'd you say?
The Kool-Aid.
Is what?
Like, you drink something via cold.
Via cold?
Yeah.
Cold? C-U-L-T?
Yeah. Like, that's what it means, like...
Oh, drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? No, if I drank that Kool-Aid, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Oh.
But no, it was, you'd buy the powder, little packet things, and it was a packet of whatever and 2 cups of sugar and water, and it would make 2 quarts.
Your tap water?
Yeah.
Oh.
But occasionally my parents would buy us a case of pop or soda, if you're not around here. But... It was strictly bottles. There was no cans. There was, and that was always like, holy shit, look at that. We got soda.
Like glass bottles?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Mountain Dew.
The original Mountain Dew?
That was my favorite. Yeah.
With the real sugar.
Yeah. It probably wasn't very good for you. But I remember when cans came out and... Across the street from us was a gas station that had a pop machine outside. And So this friend of mine, he went and bought a can of pop, and he came back to our house, and he goes, hey, watch this. And he took the can, and he started shaking it up, and I was like, what the hell is he doing? And he opened it up, and it started spraying all over us. I'm like, what the hell? That was my first experience with soda in a can.
Wow.
My favorite alcoholic drink is Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, in particular reason.
No.
No.
Not really.
Normally people have reasons for...
I made up this drink one time. So there's a whiskey called Bushmills.
Okay.
So I'd mix it with Mountain Dew and I'd call it Mildew. It was pretty good. So there you go. That's the crazy shit you do when you drink whiskey.
Wow.
How about you?
I'd say it's kind of the same thing, really. Just change, kind of.
You don't drink Jack Daniels, do you?
No.
Okay.
But,
you better not.
But growing up, I would come here and there would be V8 juice.
Oh, the V8 Splash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I drink that now, but...
V8, but have you ever had real V8?
Yeah. Like
that stuff's nasty.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I drink the zero sugar version of it now. I'm on a zero sugar thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good, but I always wonder, because there's so many things coming out now that say zero sugar, but what are you substituting, and what's it going to do to us 10 years down the road?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to have like this weird growth on the side of our head, or
crazy acid reflex or something?
Yeah.
Become a lizard?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day, see if this makes sense to you. So they do these tests, and I'll pick coffee, because coffee throughout my lifetime has been the hero and the villain. You know, one day it's good, one day it's bad.
For you or just for in general?
Well, they'll make these announcements like, scientists from this college.
Well, you could say cigarettes too, but.
Well, no. Well, yeah, you could say anything. But coffee was like, coffee's going to kill you. If you drink more than so much a day, it's going to kill you in X amount of years. And the next week it's like, coffee cures cancer. You know, shit like that. But I always wondered, who the hell's doing these studies? And I'm thinking, these studies cannot be accurate. Because in order to be accurate, however many people they're testing, let's say it's 50, these people would all have to be in the same room for however long this test is. They all have to be doing the same thing, eating the same food, doing the same thing for the whole time they're doing this test. Yeah. In order for it to be accurate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many other things that these people do that could be throwing all that off. You know? Like,
you know. Exercise.
Or what they eat. Or, you know, what their job is, what their stress level is, you know. But even if you could do that, have everybody in the same room doing the same thing, it still wouldn't be accurate because everybody's different. I mean, their metabolisms are different. Their body systems, they react differently to certain things. So it's all bullshit. It's just another thing where people are just filling us full of bullshit.
Filling a blank in the media.
Well, it's a reason for these colleges to get money from the government to do all these studies.
Yeah.
But
well, sometimes college studies profit.
Well, of course they do. That's why they do.
No, I mean like into a science field, but...
But it used to be... The big thing when I was growing up was eggs. The cholesterol in eggs was going to kill you. Don't eat eggs.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, what? I mean, it's a natural thing. There's nothing about an egg that I know of that can be processed a different way. I mean, it's an egg.
Yeah.
And now it's like, eggs, all of a sudden eggs are healthy. Eat more eggs. I mean, it's like it goes in cycles. I mean, it's either good or it's bad. I mean, stick to one story. But yeah. Anyway, I don't know where that was going, but.
Well, you talked about college study, so I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I might be slightly right, but the Manhattan Project kind of started in a college study.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not all bad, like you're trying to take it as a bad media thing.
Well, by not saying it's not bad, you're saying that nuclear weapons are good?
No, I mean, just science in general.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, but that wasn't a study, though. That was a. They actually had a goal in mind to create this weapon.
Nuclear weapon. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they were studying the effects of coffee on people. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They could have, though.
They could have, yeah. So.
The real question is, what did they study before that?
Before what?
The project. They're like, let's see the effects of Mountain Dew on people, and then let's create a nuclear weapon.
Well, like I said, they do these college. That's why they announce these study results. It's always from a college. So these colleges get paid to do these studies by the government gives them grants. You know, I mean, you always hear these crazy stories about, you know, the government gave this college $60 million to study the sex habits of bees. You know, who gives a shit? I mean, yeah, bees have sex, or there wouldn't be any bees. I mean, yeah. Give me half of that. We'll call it good. I mean, it's crazy. Some of the shit they pay for. But, yeah. Manhattan Project. Yeah, wow. Yeah, that changed the world for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it stopped a war, but it had a... had a major impact on the world. I mean, you know, that goes on to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else you got?
So this is going to be a wild spin.
Uh-oh.
But
what's your favorite nuclear weapon?
I got hurt in PE today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
So we played basically a variant of volleyball.
I loved volleyball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish that there was a male team, but...
So one time in volleyball, it was like fifth or sixth grade, maybe it's, I don't know, fifth grade, let's say. So I love playing volleyball. So I was in the, I can't even tell you what the positions are called or if they even have a name, but I was in the front line. Is that what they call it?
No, they have names. But.
Okay. But we used to rotate.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. We were getting beat, and we started coming back, and we scored the winning point. And I did one of these where I threw my hands up, yeah. And there was this girl next to me, and I didn't realize it, and I punched her right in the nose. She's like, oh. She goes crying to the teacher, he punched me in the nose. I go, hey, man, it was an accident.
So to elaborate on how I got hurt, it's a bigger ball. It's like the size of the table we're at now.
What?
That's why I said it's a version of volleyball, and that's also four courts instead of two. Well, one. So basically, it's cut up into fours.
Okay.
And there's separate teams. And so, anyways, I went up and met somebody at the net, and I basically they got plowed into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And coming down, half my head, it dragged down the net.
Mm.
And
little net burn?
No, since I have an earring in that ear.
Oh God!
It must have split halfway or something, and it just popped out, and all of a sudden my ear is just bleeding.
Ow!
Yeah.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I found it. It took like five minutes to find the backing.
Did you find your ear?
Yeah, it's intact, sadly, but could have had a crazy war scar.
Oh my God! That makes me hurt even talking about it.
So you got no stories about you getting hurt in PE or anything? Like, were you a big participator in PE?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Getting hurt? Well, I'm sure I did. I remember one time in high school, somebody got in my locker and ripped me off for $15 and took my pocket watch.
Really?
Yeah, I was pissed. But hurt?
So you said you disliked high school but would be a big participator in PE?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
I had
a friend of my best friend. He skipped every freaking gym class. I mean, every gym class. And somehow he still graduated. I don't know how he did it, but when we had to do wrestling, was this high school? Yeah. So we had to do wrestling. And I was like, I am not getting down on the floor and rolling around with some dude.
Yeah.
Well, you have to. I said, no, I don't. And I'm not doing it. So I skipped every class of wrestling. I was like, I'm not doing this. So, I couldn't tell you where I went or what I did. I don't remember, but yeah, I went maybe the first class, and I'm like, nope, not doing this.
Yeah, now PE classes are more like made-up games, like made-up sports. Like I just said, you have no clue what I'm talking about. It's called Omnican Ball.
Never, no. We did stupid shit. Like one time we had to do square dancing.
We had to do dancing.
And they'd play this, like, square dancing music. Like,
yeah.
Grab your partner, do-si-do. And they'd teach us these moves. It's like, why do we need to know this?
We had to do...
When am I ever going to go to a square dance?
So basically, they taught us dancing in eighth grade, but since of COVID, we didn't get that treatment.
They teach you the robot?
No. Like dancing with a partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like a waltz or something?
I don't know what that
Foxtrot?
Is.
Foxtrot?
Sure.
Two-step?
Yeah, two-step, basically.
Yeah.
But we didn't get that treatment because of COVID, so...
We did basketball, volleyball.
You said you did, I don't know, you did basketball till what grade?
Well, in gym we did it, but I wanted to go out for the basketball team in junior high. I think it was eighth grade, but I had really long hair.
Yeah.
And they told me I had to get my hair cut.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not getting my hair. Why do I have to get my hair cut? Because at the time, and I use this as an example, I don't know if you remember Bill Walton. He was a center for... somebody. Anyway, he had really long hair too.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Bill Walton didn't have to get his hair cut. Well, why do I? And the excuse they gave me was because basketball season was in the wintertime. And they said, well, you know, when you get done with a game or practice, you have to take a shower. And we don't want you going out in the cold with wet hair. And I'm like, I'll take my chances. But they wouldn't do it. So I said, well, screw you. So I didn't go.
Any other sports? And did you do sports in high school?
I did in high school. No,
you were a kicker, and
I did football. It was actually outside of school. It was
really
for the town I grew up in, but it was like a feeder program for the high school.
Yeah,
kind of like our local baseballs. You know, we're supposed to teach you guys how to play so when you get to high school.
Yeah, like a town ball for
right.
Football.
That was seventh grade. Oh, God, that was a blast. I love that. So the guy who coached my team somehow got word to the junior high coach, and they bugged me forever. Why aren't you going out for football? Why aren't you going out for football? I don't want to go out for football. I'm not a jock. Because I told you, there was two groups when I went to school. There was I remember the name now. It's jock. They call them the jocks and the freaks. So I finally got tired of them bugging me about it. So I said, okay, fine, I'll go out. So got the uniform, you know. But then I found out there was practice every day after school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I never went. I never went to one practice. I was just like, I'm not doing this. So I guess I was a freak. But interestingly enough, my football coach was also a boxing coach, and he even came to my house one day, knocked on the door, and he goes, hey, I really want you to try. I want you to box for me. I'm like, what? I don't want to box. He goes, come on.
I'd love to.
I said, I don't want no part of that.
Really?
Yeah. No. So, I didn't. And he called me a freak. No. You freak.
Well, to spin off back to what we were talking about, you got any, let's say, you got any favorite candy?
I think we talked about, you asked me about movie candy one time.
Yeah.
And I said sugar babies. Or sugar, what is it? Sugar babies or daddies?
It's either or. I think they changed the name.
My favorite candy? God, I haven't had candy in years. That's probably one of those, yeah.
Same answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just a straight sucker for chocolate recently for some reason.
Oh, my favorite candy bar was, you ever had a Charleston Chew?
No.
Those are good.
Isn't that the big long tube?
It's long, and it's kind of like you're chewing on rubber, but it's got chocolate on it. What were you going to say?
I don't remember.
Sorry.
Well, what I was saying was I just can't take away, like, if I see chocolate, I want to eat it.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a problem. Any actually, other candy besides anything that's mainly chocolate.
Do you like dark chocolate?
No, I despise it.
Because dark chocolate's really not bad. I mean, it's healthier for you than milk chocolate.
Well, that sucks because it is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like those jujubes and stuff like that, but I didn't like that they stuck to your teeth.
Well, sugar babies do, or sugar daddies.
But it's chocolate.
So I think you're, unless they changed it, now it's like straight caramel.
What?
Sugar babies.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I haven't had candy since 1999.
Really?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. Well, that's what happens when you get old. When you abuse your body for up until 1999.
Do you eat cookies?
No.
What? Oop. Not a single cookie.
I used to when I was a teenager.
Cookies are the greatest.
Or I used to love Oreos. But what I would do is, you know, like Ready, you know what Ready Whip is? You know, the whipped cream in a can where you use.
Yeah.
I used to. I used to take an Oreo spray Ready Whip on it and eat it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My
I love problem. Chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, but I can't eat them. God will kill me.
but my problem growing up is that I would eat tubs of frosting.
Ooh.
And
just by itself?
Yep. And ooh, slices yuck. Of cheese.
With it?
No.
Oh.
These are the two things I would eat.
I once had a... I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to... So we were taking a... I told you about trips to my grandpa's. It was like an 11-hour drive.
Yeah.
So one time, my sisters... Were they married? No. They were just dating. But he drove to... So we had like two cars. And we stopped at a rest stop, and it was early in the morning. It was like 7:30 in the morning. I opened a beer and ate a donut with cheese on it. I have no idea why. Somebody dared me probably, and I said, yeah, I'll do that. So, but I tell you, to bounce off that, we used to go camping a lot when I was a teenager with my friend's family, my best friend's family, not my family.
Did your family know about these trips?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They didn't know what we did, but yeah. But anyway, the best, we were camping. No, his parents weren't there that time. It was me. There was four of us. And so we partied all night. Got up the next morning and built a fire and was making breakfast, scrambled eggs and beer. Oh my God, to this day. That is the best breakfast I've ever had.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was just the whole atmosphere and how we made it, but yeah, it was great.
Like, did you make it over the fire?
Yeah, in a pan.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we were roughing it, man. It was like none of this, you know, none of this RV shit with air conditioning and satellite TV. It was out in the...
Dark ages.
When I'd go camping, because I couldn't stand sleeping in a tent on the ground, so... I'd find a picnic table or something, and I'd sleep on top of the picnic table.
With a little blankie?
With a sleeping bag.
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, I didn't ever... I would have sleeping bags, but I don't think I'd ever use them.
One night...
I would, but with a blanket.
One time I went camping with... Who was it? I don't remember who it was, but I had one of those long lawn chairs, you know, I talk about where we did the lunar eclipse. And I was drinking a beer... And I fell asleep, and I woke up, and my shirt was soaked. I had spilled the beer all over me. I fell asleep with it in my hand. Yeah.
Must have been real tired.
Well, obviously.
Someday
I'm going to tell you all these stories from my...
You should.
Well, some of them I would not feel comfortable telling you. You're too young and impressionable.
You should make your own episodes.
Why? So you could listen to them?
No. It should be like Locked Files #1.
Locked files?
Yeah. You know, for
the podcast. You have to have a password to get into it? I have some pretty crazy stories.
You should tell them.
They should be shared for sure before they disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before they go. Where are you trying to go?
Where am I going?
Yeah. You have this plan.
I do?
Yeah, you have a plan.
What do you mean?
Where you want to go.
For what? For when I die?
Yeah.
Oh. Where do I want to go?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you go anywhere, but if you do, so one of my favorite, you remember Twilight Zone?
Maybe.
The original Twilight Zone with Rod Serling? Black and white?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, they had an episode one time about this guy who was a gambler. And he died. He didn't realize he died. And he was always losing. He was a card player, I think, poker player.
He started winning.
So, yeah. So he wakes up one day and he's in this real nice hotel room and he goes to gamble and he can't lose. I mean, he's got all this money. He can't lose. He's got all the hot chicks hanging off of him because he's got money and stuff. And he finally figures out that he's dead and that he's in hell. Because he couldn't stop winning, and so it stopped having meaning.
Mm.
And he's like, and it was like he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop playing, but when he'd play, he'd always win. So
He
wanted to lose just to break it up.
You'd never have the satisfaction of winning anymore.
Right, because you can't. It's like, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you know, it's like the classic good and evil.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't have good, you wouldn't know evil and vice versa. Yeah. I mean, you got to have something to gauge it against. But so I was always told growing up in Sunday school that if you go to heaven, it's going to be whatever you like the most. That's what your life.
Perfect reality.
That's what your life will be.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that doesn't really make sense. Because what if you like, I don't know.
Dudes.
Shooting heroin. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine God be like, here's an endless supply of heroin and some needles. Go crazy. You're in heaven. I don't know. I don't know that I believe in heaven and hell, but I would like to believe that there's something on the other side, but I guess I won't know until I get to that point.
Yeah.
What do you think? You think there's afterlife?
I think I've talked about this slightly in a broader sense of that I think that you basically become part of space.
Worm food?
Worm food?
Yeah.
Like wormhole food?
No, they bury in the ground. Are you going to...
Oh.
You probably haven't even thought about that.
No.
See, I'm going to get... I don't know if I even told you this. I'm going to be cremated, and part of my ashes are going to be shot into space.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of why I asked.
Yeah.
But,
well, I totally believe that. Because I remember my mom, when I told my mom this, she's like, you paid how much to do what? And I told her, and really, I've had it paid for a long, long time. It only costs $900.
Still, you think?
No. Oh, hell no. In fact, they just contacted me the other day. Are you still alive? No, they didn't say that. But anyway, she said, well, why do you want to do that? And I said, I want to go back where I came from. She's like, what? And I said, well, we all came from whatever's out there.
Yeah.
You know, but that was a concept she couldn't wrap her head around. I asked her, I don't know if I should say this, but she's dead, so what the hell? we were having a conversation on the phone one time, and she'd always, well, not always, but somehow we got on the subject of being a bigot. My dad was a big bigot. He was, till the day he died, he thought black people were just like subhuman.
Oh.
So my mom and I got in this conversation one time. I don't know how it started or whatever, but I asked her. She goes, I'm not a bigot. She said, I'm not a bigot. I'm not a bigot. So I said, so, if I come to your house next week with a black girlfriend, you be okay with that? She goes, oh, you better not. And I'm just like, and you're not a bigot, right? Oh, God. Yeah. But that's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Their generation was, this isn't going to mean anything to you, but it might mean something to someone my age that's listening. But my dad actually actively campaigned when George Wallace ran for president. He was a notorious bigot. He was very pro-segregation. You know, he was the black should drink out of one water fountain and white should drink out of another, and they should all sit at the back of the bus. And
very Jim Crow-y.
Yeah. But I remember he'd have all this, like, this campaign literature and stuff for his campaign, and he'd be handing it out to people. And I didn't know at the time. I'm like, well, who's this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I found out later what he was all about, and I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. He ended up getting shot. Somebody tried to kill him. They didn't kill him, but he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. He was messed up. But yeah. And then all of a sudden he got shot and condemned to a wheelchair. And he's like, you know, I think I was wrong about this. It's amazing how people always have that moment when something major happens to them. Like, you know what? I think I just found Jesus or something, like, you know.
The finding Jesus
come moment. Come to Jesus or, moment. Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
I don't believe so.
I got a couple favorites for you. What's your favorite movie series?
You could say, well, movie series meaning long episodes?
No. Like, say, take Star Wars. That was a series of films.
Oh.
You know, films that are about the same thing, but multiple films.
There's probably something that I'm going to forget that I definitely enjoy, but I think the thing that went to my head first was Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But there's definitely something probably that I'm forgetting, and I could
tell I thought you were going to say Fast and Furious.
Nah. Well, because they've kind of ruined it by the recent
ones. Well, yeah, they've
got all the guns and
That started out as like a street racing thing and turned into some kind of...
Like bank... Cool, because they got added to the government as a blacklist where they basically can do heists for them because they're so good at racing. But I mean, the last Fast and Furious, Fast and Furious X was pretty good, but, you know, it's kind of going away in a direction that obviously they're quitting, so... Well, how about you?
I was just thinking what my favorite film series is.
And I'll if I change my mind, I'll tell it on the next episode.
As crazy as this sounds. Oh, well, let's see.
Let's hear your crazy take first before you say your actual.
Well, and I know you're not going to know who I'm talking about, but back in the day, you don't know who Dean Martin is, probably.
Probably not.
You ever heard of the Rat Pack?
I've heard of it.
So he was part of the Rat Pack. He was a singer. But he did a series of films where he played like a James Bond character called Matt Helm. And he did, I want to say there was probably three or four of those movies. They were just so cheesy. And I'm not sure they were trying to play it as a comedy, but it came across that way. But yeah. Those were funny movies. Probably, and I just thought of this, my favorite film series has got to be Peter Sellers played in the Pink Panther movies.
Pink Panthers?
He played Inspector Clouseau.
I don't think I've ever...
Please tell me you've seen a Pink Panther movie.
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, God.
You know what actually came to my mind, though? Definitely growing up, my favorite film series. I don't know if you can really categorize it, but Inspector Gadget.
That was a cartoon. Well, I guess it was a movie.
Yeah.
Was it more than one movie?
I'm pretty sure. I think it was two or three. But I loved those things. Inspector Gadget, I loved Inspector Gadget.
Okay. So we're about time to wrap this up. So you've never seen a Pink Panther movie, right?
I don't believe so. I've seen the Pink Panther. Like, you know,
the cartoon?
Yeah, the Pink Panther.
Oh, no. So... I'm going to tell you right now that your assignment between now and next time we get together is to watch Pink Panther Strikes Again.
Okay.
That movie. There's a scene in that movie that is just, to this day, it makes me cry laughing.
Yeah.
I actually, when that movie came out, I actually went and saw that, I swear to God, 6 times. And I paid to watch it 6 times.
You laughed every time.
Oh, my God. It is hilarious.
So
you got to watch that.
You want an assignment from me then?
Yes. Yes.
So I'm going to give you a movie that is tied with, I have two movies that right now currently, but one has stayed the same. Right now, currently, that is tied for my favorite movies of all time. And I'll give...
Favorite of all time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll give you 1917.
Okay.
It's a war movie,
mm-hmm. obviously. World War One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can tell you about the movie when... Unless you want to know about slightly about it, but...
Don't tell me anything.
I'll tell you about everything about it when we do the review.
Okay. So... All right. Any closing comments?
I'm hopeful about this movie.
Oh, because
I think I've seen a.
If you don't laugh your ass off, you have no humorous. Well, you have no humor in your body whatsoever.
I could be completely wrong, but I think it is. I think it's like a comedy of a detective. Or am I wrong?
He's an inspector. Okay, Inspector Clouseau.
So that's why the cartoon is kind of
But the movies are Peter Sellers is just. He plays that character so good. But if you aren't laughing from start to finish, you
aren't real.
your funny bone needs some work.
Have you seen that video?
What?
Of the girl on the airplane pointing at some guy in the back or whoever. It never really pans to it, but the girl is just screaming on a plane, "You are not real."
Oh, I heard of it. I heard it, but no.
That guy right there is not real.
He's like, what? Yeah. So let's give out our contact info one more time. Our email is timeonthemic, Mike spelled M-I-C, @gmail.com. Our new Facebook page, Time on the Mic Podcast, all spaced out. And then we have Twitter, Instagram. Oh, it's just Time on the Mic.
All Time on the Mic.
Yeah. So, and once again... If you drop us a line through one of those avenues and give us some topics, suggested topics, and we pick one, we may invite you to be on the podcast. So
make sure you're following like, eh?
Yeah, and follow and like us more than, you know, as many times as you can. As they say on YouTube, crush that button. Everybody says that.
Yeah.
Crush that like button.
Well, because it comes with an edit, with it, you know.
But... If you don't want to give us a like or a follow, at least send us an email or contact us somehow. Let us know you're out there, especially you, Gravedigger. I know you're listening. And we also want to recognize our sponsor, C&J Superior Tools. They have a Facebook page or a Facebook group called C&J Superior Tools. They are a Snap-on tool franchise. They can get you anything you may need tool-wise, gadget-wise, apparel-wise, anything to do with Snap-on. You can contact them through Facebook at C&J Superior Tools Facebook group or by phone at area code 563-949-0160. All right. Anything else?
It was a fun episode.
All right. I am GT.
I'm Daniel.
This time on the mic is over.